You're listening to the Rizzoli and Isles podcast. I'm Amanda. Jay?
No.
Come on, Jay.
No!
Let's get through it. We can do this.
It was a terrible episode. I don't want to talk about it.
Be strong.
No! I don't want to. Please,
I'll give you a cookie.
What kind of cookie?
Chocolate chip? I'll give you two if you're good.
Sweet.
So this recap episode, we will be doing This Is How a Heart Breaks, which is season 3, episode 3 of Rizzoli and Isles.
So it starts off, and there's a man running down an alley, and he hears this gunfire. He thinks he's still in Iraq or in Afghanistan or something, and it's all in his head, basically. And we see what he's wearing, and that he's homeless, so he's a soldier. And then all of a sudden, a man comes and kills him with a tomahawk. Then we head to the BPD lobby. Mars opening a package, and Angela helps her. And it's just, like, art piece thing? I don't know what it... It's like, I don't know what it is, basically.
It kind of looked like found art type stuff. Like, you take a bunch of stuff, and you throw it all together, and be like, art!
Jane walks in, and she says Kavanaugh is going to kill Mara for having that delivered there. And Jane doesn't think it's art. And she said art to her is... If Mara had this home run ball on display from this baseball player, to her, that's what she considers is art. And so they get a phone call, of course. They always get a phone call of crime. And it's a new case. Jane walks by and she touches, like she, there's this like propeller part of the art piece. And she spins it. And Mara like smacks her hand like, don't touch it. And then Mara walks away and Jane like behind her back just touching it. Like, what you gotta
do? Yeah, she just, as she's walking, she's just touching it along the way. We're at the crime scene. Jane walks up with Mara, and they're immediately noticing all the graffiti, and Jane makes the comment about she hates taggers, which I'm like, what do you got against graffiti? Come on, it's harmless vandalism. Jane makes the comment that it's a felony. Mara considers it a form of art, and they drop, there's a Banksy name drop, which, if you haven't seen it, you should see Exit Through the Gift Shop. It's really good. It's a great commentary on Banksy's art. Jane talks to one of the witnesses about what he heard. Apparently he was working late and heard yelling.
Killer!
Yeah. I didn't know. When they showed him on camera, I didn't immediately think killer. I should have. But I was just like, okay. And that was it. He almost looked homeless himself.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But he was working late preparing for his art show. He hands Mara one of his little, as a handout for the date and time for the art show. And, oh, gee, it's the graffiti on the wall, which was stupid. Way to go. But Mara pipes up that say that Detective Rizzoli would be interested in going to his art show because she's a budding art enthusiast. And that was not said with an ounce of sarcasm.
Right. I was like, is that lying? What? Mara? She didn't get any hives or faint.
Maybe she was trying to be ironic.
I don't know.
But Frost's reaction to the news that Jane has taken up an interest in art is to ask, for real? And Jane looks at him like he's crazy and goes, for not real. Tells him to go help Corsac and go away, kind of, pretty much. So we see the victim. His name is Bernard. I like that name. It's a good name. It's a shame he's dead. Mara is looking at the body, and she's saying that there are chop and puncture wounds. Jane brings out sarcasm and is like, ooh, you're being bold. And she's like, are you ready to call the weapons? Mara just gives her this look that says, I'm not amused. And then, I screamed at this part. Rondo is back!
Rondo! Oh my god!
I know! I was like, there is a god!
And the hard thing about it was, like, I couldn't tell you. Like, I knew he was gonna come back, but I could not tell you. That was so hard to do. I was like, because you were saying, like, oh, I wish Rondo would come back. I'm like, yeah, wait till you see episode 3.
It was kind of like when Giovanni came back.
I love me some Rondo.
Me too. So we see Rondo. He's trying to get past Frankie, and he's doing, like, all these dodging moves, and he's, like, trying to run around him like he's a receiver in football. And he's holding a sign that says, we'll work for food, but the food's crossed out, and underneath it says vanilla. When I saw that, I was busted out laughing. Rondo's amazing. So he runs up to Jane and he's saying he's got a tip for her, but Frankie wouldn't let him pass, acting like he's not family. He's like, what's up with that?
He's like, what's up, bro? He's like, 504 brother, acting like we ain't family. I was like, wow, Rondo. Wow.
Next scene, we've got the homeless guys are hanging out in an alley. Rondo goes up and is like, General Rondo here. And Jane looks at him like, really? Rondo just tells him to work with me, and he's got one of his CIs saying that he saw the killer and he was an insurgent, and so Jane's basically like, okay, this dude's crazy. But Jane plays along and questions him, and he hands her this broken keyboard. And you're like, okay, here we go. Clue number one.
Roofing nail. Fascinate blanket. Oh, got something.
Oh, geez. You need a tissue?
Tommy's fingerprints.
Wow. Oh. Serious case of the allergies?
Drawing of Lady in Cemetery. I just can't. I was imagining Blue's Clues paw print on that keyboard. Oh, every freaking if I was Jane, if someone handed me this shit, I would just be like, destroy it and be like, oh, I solved the case in like 5 minutes.
It does tend to be very Scooby-Doo-esque when they come to handling the clues like that.
I would have preferred if he didn't hand them the keyboard. Like, I know I'm skipping ahead, but when they find his body, like, the keyboard was, like, there. And they just, like, use it as, like, evidence or something. So it wouldn't be as obvious.
Okay. Like, if he was beat to death with the keyboard?
No, like, if the keyboard was laying next to him. Or it's, like, his belongings.
Okay. I see what you mean. Oh, yeah. So, basically, the homeless vet hands Jane the keyboard saying that it contains classified intel, which Jane is just like, okay, have a nice day. So, Rondo takes the keyboard, and Jane gives him $10 for, you know, his information, and she starts to walk away, and Rondo goes, damn, homicide's getting hard up. Economy's getting to you too, Vanilla? And she turns around, and she puts down another 10. And she goes, come back when you've got more information, kind of thing. As she walks away, she turns and she looks back at Rondo just in time to see him handing the vet the $20. And Jane's face, you just see her heart melts. And my heart melts because I'm like, that's why I love Rondo.
I know. I was like, oh, I'm not getting emotional. So we head to the morgue. Jane and Mara are looking over Bernard's body. They're trying to figure out the weapon that killed him. Jane thinks it's a tomahawk, and she even draws it. I mean, her drawing was fantastic.
So detailed.
Oh, my God. The shading was just like... Oh,
wow.
I know. She should be an artist. I mean, if she ever wants to retire being a detective, I'm telling you. Riveting.
She got a fallback.
Exactly. That's my friend is sarcasm. Anyway, so the coroners come in, they walk in, and the first thing I thought of, which I hope you thought too, because you watch it also, I thought, oh my God, it's Agent McSweden.
From what?
Leverage. The dude from Leverage who has a crush on Parker. Oh my God, seriously?
I didn't look at the EMT guys. Or were they? No, they weren't EMT guys. They were...
like the coroners.
Yeah, I did not look at them.
One of them was from Leverage. He plays a FBI agent. He comes in and out of the show every once in a while. And he has a crush on Parker. I flipped out. I was like, oh my God, he's on Resilient House now. He should have stayed with Leverage. But he's just a guest star on Leverage. He's not like one of the main characters. So he could do other shows. It's fine. So yeah, they give Jane and Mara this new body.
Mara's basically like feeling him up to see what the cause of death was. And as she's doing that, all of a sudden you see something start protruding through the bag. And Jane freaks out and she starts whacking Mara. She's like, Mara, look. And this part killed me because Mara's first reaction was to grab the penis. And she's like, the penis has a pulse. And I'm like, oh my God, I hate everything about this scene now.
I was like, I'm just going to vomit. I don't know what was worse, the erection part or the sound effect that went with it.
Yes, that sound effect. I was like, what the fuck is happening here?
Seriously? Do we need a sound effect for that? Like, do we really need a sound effect for that?
I guess we do, because we don't know what an erection is, apparently.
I doubt it makes a sound, but I just...
If every erection came with a soundtrack.
Oh, God. It grossed me out. And I'm like, straight, you can make penis jokes, that happens on other shows. Like Walter's joke about, like, he has said plenty of times he's had erections at some point. But it's funny. It's hilarious. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't gross me out. Because it's Walter.
Right, this and joke there's just, no erection grabbing taking place.
But this joke was like, it just missed. I was just like, this is, I'm like, I was like, really? With the sound effect too? It was, ugh. ugh. Basically, he's alive. And so they're rushing, trying to find a way to save him. Jane is calling 911 for help. Mara's asking for some sort of tube to, like, cut open a little slit of his throat to give him, like, air in his airway because his airway is constricted. And so Jane gives him, like, a pin, like the tube part of the pin. And Mara puts the pin in his throat. And I was like, that's not clean, but all right. she put it in his throat and starts, like, blowing into it. And I was like, is this, like, this weird tube blowjob? I don't know. So basically, he can breathe. And so he's breathing again. So he survives. And the EMTs come. They arrive. And they take him to the hospital. Jane and Mara decide to do a bro fist for their achievement. Wow, that's exciting. Woo!
Woo, we saved a dead guy.
Yeah. Woohoo. Anyway, Jane leaves, and before she leaves, she's like, suggests Mara, hey, you should check Bernard's pulse. And Mara laughs. She's like, at first, and then after, she's like, wait, what? She's all of a sudden, her laughter went from like, wait, no, I'm not going to do that. But before that, Mara was saying, like, good thing he was hot. And Jane was like, yeah, if he was ugly, you weren't going to try to save him.
When Mara said that, when she said it was nice to save someone that handsome, my immediate reaction was what Jane said next was, so if he was ugly, you would have let him die. Since when was Mara so superficial?
I didn't get that. She shouldn't have said that. That should have never happened.
She should have said it was so nice to save someone that was not dead. They could have handled it better.
We were like, we get it. Apparently, they're going to go out or something.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, there's going to be more to it.
We head to the brick. Jane, Corsac, and Frost are looking for clues. Corsac and Frost is teasing Jane about, we will now call him, Erection Man.
We owe the use of Erection Man to Liv, who it has spread around Twitter now that his name is Erection Man. And Jay even made a nice little picture of him to go along with it, so look for that on the block.
Or our Twitter. Now that even weird, okay, Erection Man Twitter. Okay, Twitter. Look for it on Twitter. And so Jay's like, how did you find out about that? Because that just happened, like, a couple seconds ago. And Frost said, well, news travel hard and fast.
Yes, I was like, more erection jokes, yay!
So they're looking up for the clues, and they see this picture that has Justin, Rondo's CI, on it. So apparently Rondo was doing his job. Mm-hmm. So they said they're going to go and interview Justin. So we head to the interrogation room, and Corsac and Jane are interviewing Bernard's wife. And we find out from the wife that he had PTSD, and that he went to get some help, but it was kicked out, and he was homeless for 6 months because he tried to kill his own son, thinking his son was a suicide bomber.
Yeah, which when he said that, I immediately in my head, I was like, I bet the suicide bomber was a kid. And I was right.
So we head to the Veterans Center. Jane and Corsac is there to try to get more info on Bernard, like why he was kicked out and all that. And then we see some soldiers are using this virtual reality therapy to get over their PTSD. Jane Corsac starts interviewing one of the workers, you know, asking more about Bernard. He said, I know a person who worked with him. Let me send you to this person. They go into this office, and Corsac and Jane walks in, and in the office was Casey.
My reaction, well, they did a good job, too. Jane's face was just like, what the fuck is going on? She's mentally putting it together in her brain. Like, how long has he been here in Boston? You know, all that stuff.
Yeah, you're right. Jane was surprised. So Casey starts telling them about that there was this guy that hated Bernard and that they fought a lot. And because of that, they got kicked out. And so after he said that, Jane asks Corsac, hey, can I get some private time with Casey? And so Jane starts talking to Casey and was like, hey, what are you doing here? And we find out Casey's like, yeah, I've been in Boston for a few months. And she's like, well, why haven't you tried to contact me? He's like, I've been busy. You know, he's being an ass to Jane.
Yeah, he's making up all kinds of excuses. Which, it was pointed out that there's inconsistency with how long Jane hasn't been talking to Casey, which is a very valid point. Because towards the end of season two, you know, he's still Skyping her and everything, and we never heard about Casey since then. And then all of a sudden we find out that they haven't been talking for months and he's back in Boston. The progression of their relationship just, like, ended for the audience. You know, we learn that all this has taken place and we've not heard a single thing about it.
Casey tells her to leave. We go to Mara's office, and Erection Man gave Mara some flowers. And then before she says that, because Jane walks in and Mara's like, oh, I got these flowers from the cute boy with the erection. I was like, what the what? Oh my God. First of all, his name is Dennis. Yeah, I know his name. Why would Mara
refer to him as a boy?
A cute boy with an erection. Why?
It's not just the cute boy with an erection. It's that, why would she refer to him as a boy? He is clearly like 35, 40, you know, right in there.
I don't think season one Mara, or even I don't know. I don't even think she would say, oh, this is the guy with the erection gave me the flower. She would say, oh, remember Dennis, the guy that we saved in our morgue, he gave me flowers. Because that's a mature adult would say. I was just sitting there like, Mara would say this? Come on. Jane doesn't care. Because her focus is about Casey. And Mara starts putting two and two together and was like, oh my God, you like him more than Dean. Okay. Once again, what the fuck? Like you were saying before about Casey. This is what, the third episode he's been in?
Yep.
How can Jane care more about Casey over Dean when she fucked Dean if she's so in love with Casey?
Exactly. And she hasn't hardly seen Casey. He's been in Afghanistan this whole time. And we're supposed to believe that she all of a sudden fell in love with him?
What? I'm like sitting here like, who wrote this? This cannot be possible. We meet Casey in the premiere of season two. Then we hear nothing about Casey for like, what, 13 episodes? Nothing. Not even a mention about him. Not even any known thing about James to keep it in contact. Nothing. When I say nothing, nothing about him. At episode 14, all of a sudden, she's Skyping with Casey. At first, I was like, who the fuck is Casey? I had to remember who Casey was. I was like, what? She's Skyping with him. And she's upset. And then, I kid you not, that was episode 14. The next episode, the very next episode, okay, she sleeps with Dean. And I'm like, was she, like, Skyping and saying Casey's her boyfriend in, like, the last episode? And now she's like, I like him more than Dean. I'm like, so, but the funny thing about it is you slept with Dean, but you have yet to sleep with Casey at all. You've only talked to him about three times that we've counted. And I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't get it at all.
I don't know. It frustrates me that the writers feel the need to throw Jane at every guy who has a mild interest in her. Why?
But she can't focus because of her heartbreak. I'm like, Jane, you shouldn't even be mad at Casey at this point. You cheated. So, I mean...
Which, one of the reasons that I was actually thinking before we find out what actually happened at the end of the episode was that somehow it got to Casey that she slept with Dean. I was like, he's pissed at her because he found out she slept with Dean while he was in Afghanistan.
Which would make perfect sense because Dean himself had to go to Afghanistan in the finale. He was mentioning that he had to go to Afghanistan for something, for a mission. I was like, that would have been perfect. If Dean was just around there somewhere and was just blabbing on about Jane, and Casey's like, oh, you know Jane? Yeah. And Dean was like, yeah, you know, she's my girlfriend. I fucked her. What's up? And that would have been a totally different story. I would have made that, okay, that's believable. Anyway, Mara tells Jane to focus on the case, you know, to get her mind off of Casey.
She says the best antidote for heartbreak is distraction. So the next scene, we go to the interrogation room. Basically, they are talking to one of the guys that started with Bernard. And he's basically saying everything was Bernard's fault because he couldn't shoot the suicide bomber. And that's why everybody came back as damaged as they were. And he was saying that it wasn't fair because Bernard came back without a cut on him. During the interrogation, Jane leaves because she gets a call from Frost telling her that Justin, the guy that served with Bernard and handed Jane the keyboard, is dead in his little cardboard box.
Wah, wah, wah. So we head to the morgue. We find out that Justin was killed with the same weapon, the tomahawk. Jane is not paying attention because she's still focusing on Casey. Mara suggests that Jane talks to Casey. Jane saying, no, what's the point? It's over. Mara tells Jane that Casey doesn't deserve you. I'm like, yeah, she cheated. Mara gets a call.
She gets a text.
She gets a text from Erection Man. And basically the text is saying that he's at the lobby and wants to thank them for saving, you know, his life. So we head to the lobby. Erection Man is looking at the art piece. He hugs Mara.
Jane, like, peeks around so Mara can see her, and she's like, are you checking his pulse? And Mara's just, like, waves her off.
Yeah, so he tries to hug Jane. Jane's like, no, I'm not much of a hugger. So he starts handing them gifts and thanks them for saving his life. And then he starts complimenting on the art piece, which Mara loves.
Yeah, Mara's eyes light up and Jane just, like, rolls hers. So Rondo shows up again with more information for Jane. So they're at the cafe and they're sitting down and Jane introduces his CI as Sour Grape. I wonder what's the story behind that name.
I don't even know.
I want to know. Sour Grapes gives a little bit of background information on Rondo, saying that they perform together and that Rondo can sing the panties off of any woman.
He's and Boston's Barry White. That's what they said. Huh? He's Boston's Barry White.
Yes, exactly. And Angela comes back. She's like, Raymond Washington! She's so excited. And she was saying that the panty thing was true because Tommy was conceived. And she's like, oh, wait, no, maybe it was Frankie. And I was like, oh, too much information, Angela. So Angela goes to get something for Sour Grapes. As she's walking away, Rondo is checking her out. And he goes, I see the apple bottom doesn't far from the Rizzoli tree. And he starts to check out Jane's ass, and Jane's just like, stop. And he's like, okay.
Oh, gosh. Rondo CI says the killer looks like Pope John Paul II. I was like, oh, how very Catholic. Rondo starts saying that the guy he's talking about hangs around the homeless and is on the neighborhood watch committee. And then he hands Jane the keyboard.
Again.
And so Jane tells Rondo, like, hey, you know, maybe one day you can play some music for me. And Rondo's like, no, I would never do that.
But Rondo body language changes. Rondo goes from being the silly Rondo to he just shuts down and is like, no, that's not going to happen. He snatches the keyboard back and Jane's like, whoa. I'll take a look into it and see what's up with the keyboard. But I was like, character development. There's something going on with Rondo. Finally, we get something. I love it. Maybe that means that he'll actually have more of a role this season.
I hope so. I wouldn't mind that male guest star coming back. And everyone loves him. Everyone loves Rondo. But I'm thinking, this is what my theory is about the whole music thing. Maybe Rondo was either married or had a girlfriend and she got killed or died or something. And, like, that reminds him of her. Like, maybe they met at one of his concerts or something.
Maybe.
So we head to Mara's office, and she's with Erection Man, and they're flirting. And he gives her this sculpture of a hand. He calls it the healing hand. I'm like, lame.
It's a metaphor for the hand that she gave him.
Oh. Oh.
You gave me a hand. I should probably return the favor.
Oh, God. No. No. Why you this is the third episode with bad images in my head. Why? Oh, God. Mara was talking to him and telling him all this information that she knows about him. I'm like, basically, she, like, Google stalked him. Apparently, he's not afraid of that, so he asks her out on a date, and she accepts. So he leaves. Angela walks in with this pastry she made, and then she wishes Jane would meet a guy like him, like Erection Man. And I was like, Angela, you're on our team. Don't do that. And she's like, that will never happen with Jane because Jane can't really cook or bake. And I was like, what are you talking about? Jane is an excellent cook. She makes the best floorboard burgers I've ever tasted. They're so good. You can just taste the wood. It's just...
Oh. Joe Friday would agree with you.
It's amazing. When she drops that pan, I'm like, oh, here we go. Wow, this is
going... I wonder if the Dirty Robber's going to start serving those on the menu. Have a little floor with your burger.
While this is going on, Mara accidentally mentions Casey to Angela. And Angela's like, what happened between Casey and Jane? And then we head to Jane's desk. The crew is looking up for clues, and then they find the neighborhood watch committee. They see all the pictures, and they find a guy that looks exactly like Pope John Paul II. Then we head to the marketplace. Mara and Erection Man is on a date. Start talking about art and all this. And then they head to this food truck. And he wants... This food truck has the best hot dogs. And Mara destroys my appetite for hot dogs forever. She goes into detail. I've told people, don't tell me what's in food. Just don't tell me. And, like, I was watching it, and she's like, this is in. I was like, oh, I had a hot dog. Oh, God. I can't. Now I'm not going to be able to eat a hot dog. It's done. It's totally done. Not going to happen.
Know what's in hot dogs, though. Everybody knows what's in hot dogs.
I didn't want to know. But, oh, God. I'm in. Oh. So they're looking at some art, And while this is going on, the erection man was asking Mara, what's the wildest thing you've ever done? And she said she rode nude on a horse during college, protesting about budget cuts on the equestrian team. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Mara, riding naked on a horse. No way. First she said cute boy with an erection. Now you're telling me the Mara I know and love that was antisocial, felt neglected by her parents. Even in this premiere, she said, I'm used to it. I'm alone. I've been alone before type of situation. The only time she's really been out of her shell is ever since she met Jane and been a part of this Rizzoli clan. I mean, she has a tortoise, for God's sake. If that's not even symbolic of how being in a shell is, I don't know what is, okay? So you're telling me that Mara would protest and ride nude on a horse? No way. That would never have crossed my mind. Ever. No way. I don't believe that.
It kind of contradicts what happens next, because Mara rides nude on this horse, but yet she's worried about doing graffiti tagging. You can be arrested for riding nude in public. I mean, it's called public indecency, even if it is for a protest.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I would think for Mara, her answer should have been like this. He would say, what's the wildest thing you ever done? I didn't turn in my calculus homework, junior high.
That's what I was thinking. Something like, she stole a book from the library once and never returned it.
Yeah.
She didn't pay her late dues.
She cheated on her biochemistry test. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's kind of far-fetched, but like...
Yeah. We're doing that.
Maybe not. Something nerdy. Like, something like Mara-ish. Not writing naked protesting? Like, what? Really? Okay, sure. All right, I guess so. So he takes up on the roof of this building, and he grabs these spray paint cans, which so happens to be there, and he starts tagging, and Mara's like, I don't think this is a good idea. I can't do this with you. I'm the chief medical examiner of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. That's what she says. He persuades her, and they start tagging, and of course they get caught, and they're getting caught by the cops, and one of them is Frankie.
We are back to the homeless alley, and we see Rondo was fighting the Pope, and he's got like this praying mantis style going on. One leg in the air, both hands up, and they get there just in time to kind of pull him apart, but not before the Pope does a back kick to Rondo's chest. Poor Rondo. You know, they've got them separated. Rondo's like, I can't even feel it. But you see, he's in pain. They're questioning the Pope, and he was like, you know, I was with so-and-so, can't pin the murders on me, and Korosak's like, right, but we can arrest you for assault with a deadly weapon. And the Pope asks, what deadly weapon? And Rondo's, that leg is deadly. He gets arrested anyway for being an asshole. So the next scene, we are back at the BPD cafe. Jane is getting coffee, and Angela comes up and is like, you look nice. And Jane's face immediately said, I'm suspicious. Why are you complimenting me? Angela goes, so your heart's on the mend? And Jane's like, oh, Mara told you. Angela says that she wishes Jane would confide in her. And Jane says she's thinking of becoming a nun. Which I was like, no, then you and Mara really can't be together.
Non-pope? What's going on? But okay.
Nuns, popes, there's a lot of Catholic underlying going on here. But then, in response to Jane being sad, she hugged Angela. And my reaction to this, her hugging Angela, was her heart was breaking over Mara in the first episode. But she wouldn't hug Angela then. But she's gonna hug Angela over what happened with Casey? That is bullshit.
Bullshit. Are you serious? Okay, so she'd rather hug Angela because her heart is broken over a guy she's only seen 3 times and cheated on than the woman she spent maybe 4 or 5 years with and is her best friend? Okay, all right, sure. Oh man, those cookies better be good. We head to,
I'll make sure they're nice and warm.
We head to Mara's office. Jane is asking Mara why she told Angela about Casey. Mara's not paying attention because she's worried about going to jail for the fact that she was tagging. But I did love her dress, though. I was like, I want her dress. It was really cute. Jane jokes to Mara about, well, if you tell her about Casey, you might as well tell her that I have a vibrator, too. I was like, what? Why would Mara know about that?
Unless Mara gave it to her.
Oh, why are you doing this to me?
Pretty racy stuff for a 9 o'clock show.
It is.
On a Tuesday.
Jane starts reading the statement that Mara gives her about the tagging. She tells Mara, see, this is why you should never date a zombie. There's no respect for the law.
When she said that, I was like, that is really good advice, Jane. Thank you.
Shoot him in the head.
Double tap.
Cardio is important. So while this is going on, Mara says, but she's like, but I do have a confession in this very cute way. But then she just ruins the mood. She's like, I love breaking the law. So Jane's face was like, what the fuck? She had this face like, will the real Mara please stand up? Okay. Seriously. I had the same face too. I was like, she enjoys breaking the law? What is going on? I don't know who this Mara is. Would she please not come back in any other episodes? Did someone give you the little black book from Doyle and now you're reconsidering? I don't know. Maybe it is in her DNA. Dr. Chang shows up. I'm like, yay.
Because she came in and I was like, oh, yay. It's cute, Dr. Chang.
So she shows up and she hands Mara a file. In the file, it says that the victim's lungs wasn't more lung, but it was just them inhaling spray paint. Once again, with this art theme. So Jane thinks the victim was killed because of tagging. Like, you tagged over my tag, so I'm going to kill you type of thing. When Jane said street beef, Mara thought, like, is that a food truck that I didn't go to?
It's gross. If there was something called street beef, I'd be like, no thanks, I'll pass.
I don't want street beef. I'd rather go to Dirty Robber and get those four-board hamburgers. They're really good.
Street beef? It's too reminiscent of roadkill. I mean, street beef. They're going around picking up dead animals. Here, have a squirrel hot dog. Put a little rabbit on your fries.
You are ruining, like, why are you doing this to me? You're just putting a bad image in my head.
You're the one that said street beef.
That's what Jane says. She says that verbatim. You're the one who just went there. I didn't go there. I was just doing verbatim of what Jane said. But anyway, Mara wished that she can help Jane with the case, but she can't because she'll be in jail for the tagging. But we head to the brick. Jane, Frost, and Corsac, they're looking over the graffiti. Then Frankie walks by. Jay talks to Frankie about the whole charging Mara for tagging thing. Frankie's like, oh, it's just a fake piece of paper. She's not really charged for anything. She's like, I was going to tell her. And Jay's like, oh, that's okay, I'll tell her.
But she doesn't tell her right away.
So Corsac is having trouble with the graffiti. They find out that there was a filmmaker that was making this documentary about street art.
He was making a documentary about street art, but they pulled up Bernard's records and it showed that he assaulted him, but the reason why it wasn't ever on his record is because he was never charged. So you see Frankie and Frost go looking for the documentary guy, and they're at his loft apartment. Both of them go charging in looking for him, and they find a hot tub, and Frankie goes to reach for hot tub, and Frost is like, no, wait for the hazmat, and then he flips the lid, and there's the guy pretty much cooked in the hot tub. And Frost is gagging. He's like, ooh. And Frankie's got a strong stomach. He didn't gag at the floater. And this time he's like, his face is practically in the hot tub going, it looks like corned beef and cabbage.
And he's like, oh, too bad he didn't finish his beer. Like, he's really into it. And Frost's like, ugh. I mean, Frankie's like teasing him more. And Frost's like, uh-uh. And he just walks away. He's like, uh-uh.
It's like they're trying to find more and more disgusting ways to kill people so that they can get Frost gagging again. Because a regular body doesn't make him gag anymore.
So then we head to Mara's house. So Mara's like having all these snacks and whatever. And it's her and Erection Man. And
yeah. And we see him and he's fully clothed. The camera pans to just focusing on Mara as she's getting her snacks ready. And then you flash back and you see him naked. And I'm like, what is he, a stripper? Did he have Velcro on his clothes and just whip him off? It takes longer than that to undress.
Exactly. I mean, if that... He should be still on his third button, like, I'm still trying to figure this. And then you have to take off your pants, then you have to take off your underwear, and your socks, and your shoes. That's just too much stuff to do in, like...
5 seconds.
Five seconds. And then his whole thing is like, oh, reason why I'm naked is that's how I do sculptures. And I'm like, bullshit!
Well, no, what he says, I'm asking you to get naked, so I might as well be naked too.
And before that, like, Mara turns around, and she's like... Night circulation. I'm like, oh, this is just horrible.
I know. She says you really do have nice circulation, and she does not stop looking in the crotch area, and I was like, oh, Jesus.
Since when are you Samantha from Sex and the City? If I were to watch fucking Sex and the City, I will watch fucking Sex and the City. I don't want to watch Sex and the City. I want to watch Rizzoli
and
House.
And in my notes, I put, I hate everything about this scene, too. As the scene ends, Mara's face just says, oh, we are bumping uglies tonight.
Which, by the way, though, I'm just saying, she made that face and I was like, wow.
It's supposed to be Jane's face. Why is she using it on Erection Man?
No wonder why that dude got out of his clothes so fast. He did the Bruce Almighty move. He just like, whoosh. Clothes just went off.
So they go to the morgue, and Jane is enjoying watching Mara freak out about going to jail for the tagging. They're talking about this while they're trying to figure out what killed Steve, who is the documentary dude. And Mara is, like, sniffing the body, and she realizes that Steve was actually killed before Justin and Bernard. So that's clue number two. If he was killed before them, there's something else going on. So Jane tells Mara that Frankie made it all up. He just wrote it up as a bogus because his sergeant was there, and I think Frankie was just trying to fuck with Mara.
I would too.
Mara asks why Jane didn't tell her sooner, and Jane just says she was trying to scare her straight. And Mara goes, I'll never tag again. In a response to that, to say, well, that's not what I meant. Just don't gossip with my mother. The next scene, they're at the BPD, and again, with the keyboard, they're, like, looking it over, flipping it back and forth. Frankie is like, what's up with the keyboard? And Jane is like, oh, just give me it. And she flips it over. Oh, gee, there's tape covering something. I wonder what happens when we pull the tape off. Oh, look, it's an SD card.
If I would have actually paid attention to the clue that was shoved in my face, I would have solved this shit 3 days ago. So we head to the art exhibit. Jane, Corsack, and Frost, they're there. And they're arresting the killer, the artist guy, the guy that the witness that was in the beginning of the episode. And Frost put SD card, I'm guessing it, on this computer, which had video of Bernard, the true artist who made all the art. The filmmaker was filming it. And so Bernard, you know, on the video was like, talking about he was drawing pictures of this kid because the kid was a suicide bomber and he regret not shooting. Well, he couldn't shoot the kid. He felt he couldn't do it. The kid was too young. And because he didn't kill him, all the other people died or was injured. While this is going on, Corsack finds the murder weapon because the killer didn't get rid of it.
Yes. And Jane's response is, note to self, always get rid of the murder weapon. And I'm yelling at the TV, that's what we've been saying!
So we head to the Veterans Center, and Jane is talking to Casey.
Yes, Jane walks in ready for a confrontation. So she knows Casey is avoiding talking about it, and Casey flat-out says, I don't want to talk about it.
Because she's trying to understand what's going on. And she goes on and on, she's like, I know you love me, because, you know, when you were in Afghanistan, you found ways to talk to me, and now you're coming back and you don't want to talk to me anymore. I was like, why do you even care or discuss this?
She professes her love for him. What Casey says is that he doesn't have anything to offer her. He makes up all of these lame excuses about why he doesn't want to talk to her anymore. And we know there's something going on, we just don't know what yet. So Jane leaves, and then you see a screensaver of him and Jane hugging, which I'm wondering, when did that picture get taken?
Guy in the wheelchair comes up and said, you're an idiot. And Casey starts to get up, and you see he has these, like, leg braces, and he's injured, basically. And so you're like, oh, that's the reason why?
When I saw that, I was like, oh, well, hell. I was like, well played, writers. Throwing the wounded vet card at us. I see what you did there. Trying to make our bleeding hearts care for Casey.
My thing is this. I'm sorry to say this. You know, if you're listening and you're a Casey fan, I don't give a fuck about Casey. I don't care that he's injured. I really don't. I don't know anything about the dude. This is the third episode. All I know, they were in high school together. He's a soldier. And now he's injured. That's all I know. That's all. I can't care for someone that I have no idea what's going on. And they're putting it down our throats. They're like, oh, you should care about him. He's wounded and all of this stuff. You know, Team Casey. I'm not Team Casey. I'm one of those people like, I don't want Jane to be with Casey. I don't want Jane to be with Dean. The only person I could see her with that's not Mara was Grant. That's it. And I've yet to find a guy that has chemistry like they had. I know stuff more about Dean than I do about Casey.
And I was wondering, too, did they bring Casey back to signify that the relationship between Jane and Dean is over? Dean went back to Washington. They didn't give a finalized ending. So whatever is going on between them, we still don't know.
If Dean comes back, Casey would be the last thing on her mind.
I don't know. Are they trying to create a love triangle here? Because this is going to get old quick. If they are, I wonder if they're going to try and make it come down to where Jane actually has to choose between Dean or Casey. And at that point, I will give up in defeat.
It's like, should I pick the guy with no chemistry or the guy with no chemistry? Like, I don't... Oh, God. So then we head outside, and Mara's waiting for Jane, which was cute. Jane's upset about the whole Casey ordeal. Mara feels sorry for Jane.
I feel like with this whole Casey ordeal that somebody needs to tweet Donnie Wahlberg and be like, at Donnie Wahlberg, please come back and rescue at Jane Rizzoli from this awkward love triangle. Nearly the Rizzoli and Isles fandom.
Thank you! So Jane suggests to Mara that they should do something crazy. Mara gives her this look like,
like, how crazy? Like, what do you think about?
She's like tagging crazy?
Like, sculpting crazy? Should we be talking?
Oh, God.
Jane's like, no, I don't mean anything illegal. I just mean we should just be eating junk food. And of course, Mara's like, well, I don't think that's a good idea, considering what there's in junk food. And Jane's like, just please, just go with me. I'm upset. We're just going to eat junk food. They walk away while, you know, they're doing it like, I wouldn't say hand in hand, but it's more like Mara has her hands like underneath Jane's arm. So they're like walking away. Aw, the best part of the episode. That was the end. I hope this is the only terrible episode of this season. I really do. I hope the other ones are better.
I doubt it will be the last one. Just FYI.
I mean, because, like, I watch other shows, and yeah, there's that one episode that's so terrible. No matter how huge of a fan is, I'm like, I would never watch that shit again. That was horrible. When I read the spoilers, days coming up to the episode, I was not even excited. I was not even excited at all. I was just like, okay, it's Tuesday. Okay, I'm gonna watch the episode. Because I already knew about the whole Casey thing, Rondo thing, and the erection thing. So I was like, oh, this is gonna be fantastic. And I didn't want to tell you because you were like so excited, like, ah, it's Tuesday, new episode. I'm like, oh, she's gonna hate it, but I'm gonna just keep her spirits up. Not gonna tell her. I was upset because I didn't recognize Mara at all. It's like she changed. Like, from the past two episodes were fantastic. I love them. And then this Mara comes in, and I'm like, who is this person? What have you done with Mara?
It was a rough episode. The only thing that it had going for it was that Rondo was back.
I wish she wasn't in a terrible episode. I wish she was in a good one.
I know. That would have been so nice.
When I get the season 3 DVD, I'm not watching this episode again.
You're gonna pick up the DVD in store and be like, I want $2 taken off this price because I am not going to watch that third episode. So you need to mark that down, $2, because I'm going to send that back to the writers and be like, here, have this shit back.
I want a discount. Like, seriously. I want a discount. I was bored out of my mind. I was like, I would rather, if someone asks me, hey, let's either watch this episode of Rizzoli and Isles or go to movie theaters and watch the movie that shall not be named.
Twilight.
Yes.
Breaking Dawn.
Yeah. I would say, what time is the movie?
Would you marathon all of them together?
Yes. Back to back, nonstop.
Wow.
That's how bad I hate this episode. I would rather watch some shit that I hate. I'd rather watch the movies I then should not be named, which would Dean edit, did to even attempt to watch. I'm not watching this episode the third time. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Bad enough we had to watch it twice.
That's how bad it is. I would rather buy 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, Jesus. No.
The book and the audiobook.
Fuck that. I didn't hate this episode that much. I mean, I did not like it at all. I mean, like I said, other than Rondo being in it, there was nothing I enjoyed about this episode. But I wouldn't go to that extreme to go out and read 50 Shades of Grey. So this episode, did you know that agora is the term used for the ancient Greek marketplace? The literal meaning of the word is assembly or gathering place. The agora wasn't just for buying goods, it was also used for political reasons, such as statements from the ruling class. Agora is also the root word for agoraphobia, which is the fear of open spaces.
I did not know that, but now I know. So, Amanda, what was your Gaydar paying for this horrible episode.
Oh, my initial reaction was to give it a zero.
Negative.
A negative. But I was like, I'll give it a one and be fair. Because Jane and Mar were still just friends. There was nothing gay about this episode at all.
Yeah, I agree. I would give it a one, too. They were just friends. Yeah, as far as nothing gay, of course nothing. They were talking about penises throughout the whole episode.
Mar was busy grabbing erections. Jane was busy having her heart broken over Casey, who she was supposedly in love with. There was hardly any subtext.
None.
I know. I'm trying to think. There was the comment about the vibrator, but that was flat out text. But that was it. That's all for this episode. If you have any comments, feel free to email us at therizzoliandowlspodcast@gmail.com. You can check out our website at therizzoliandowlspodcast.blogspot.com. Follow us on Twitter at @therandipodcast. If you would like to subscribe to us on iTunes, search Rizzolian Owls and take a look in the podcast section. Thank you for listening.
And this case is closed.
Editing's going to be fun. No, I'm kidding.
Shut up. I just remembered, okay? Captain Planet, he's a hero. Gonna take pollution down to zero.